Hello, this is Paul F. Tompkins, the famous comedian. You seem to have found yourself at showbizmonkeys.com. Sorry to blow your mind. Around this town, I'm all right. Around this town, I'm all right. I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire. Move to the left, man, no fuss.
I am joined today by comedian and amazing guy with terrific eyewear, John Mostyn. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm just frustrated with technology, but other than that, doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Being frustrated with technology is sort of my resting state, so I understand that.
I just don't understand how anything works. I feel like my dad. Yeah. Kind of work the TV.
It got to the point now where I realized I have geriatric texting, where I'll just like start typing stuff and it's like, that's not what I typed and I don't know why. So it happens to us all.
Yeah, someone also told me one time my text on my phone was like old people text, and I was like, I had no idea why this is so big. Just have somehow managed to put it on and have no idea how to get it off, you know. So
yeah. Are you recovered from the Oasis show?
No, I am not recovered. I'm deep in an Oasis depression. I don't know what to do with myself because I was looking forward to that show ever since they got back together. And that was a full year at least of looking forward to it. They were incredible. And now I'm just kind of lost because I don't know what to focus on. Did you go? Were you there?
I was not there. I did not get tickets. I'm going to Pulp tomorrow, so that'll be my equivalent kind of thing.
I will see you there. I will see you there.
Yes, excellent. Well, hopefully that'll take some of the pressure off of the sadness of like not being looking forward to an Oasis show.
No, I think I hope so, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I love Pulp too, but like, yeah, I just, you know what? I've been looking online and people have the same problem. Everyone who's went to see Oasis is depressed.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's a, you know, a band that you never thought would get back together for a variety of reasons. And it finally happens. And then it's like, that's so much anticipation. Like the hit afterwards of like, what's next? It's got to be hard. That's for anything. But that when it's a band that like is a, I know Oasis fans really love Oasis and for good reason.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, listen, we didn't think they were coming back, and then, you know, people who were in their 20s or 30s now who didn't get a chance to see Oasis when they were around are also like excited because they never thought so. But you know, they were incredible. Sometimes bands get back together and they're just terrible. They're just doing it for money. Like, did you went to Pulp History, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And they were incredible too.
Yeah, you know, that was
like
one of my best concerts in my entire life was that show.
I saw them when they were, same with Oasis, but I saw them when they were in the 90s, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they were incredible. And I'm like, maybe they're old, maybe they don't give a fuck. Again, Pulp were incredible. So I'm looking forward to seeing them tomorrow.
Yeah. Like I've seen like Nick Cave a bunch of times over the years and in different waves of his career, sometimes he just felt like he was phoning it in. You know, where he's like,
oh yeah,
why? I mean, this is thankfully ever since it became expensive, I haven't had to pay a lot of. He's been delivering, but back in the day, like I saw him at Lollapalooza in the 90s, and it was like, get off the stage, let somebody who actually wants to be here be on that stage.
Yeah, I never get that with bands because you don't understand how much like people love the artist and then they pay for the ticket, the hotel, the night out. They've been looking forward to it. And they're just like, well, I'm just going to phone this in. Like Morrissey is a good example of that. He was just here at the weekend. I was never a big Smiths fan, but like, I wouldn't take the gamble on going to see Morrissey.
There's a 9 to 10 chance he's just going to walk off stage.
he cancels so many shows.
Yeah.
And he doesn't show up or whatever. So, you know. It's like, same with, I saw New Order back in the day, mm-hmm. and they walked off after 3 songs.
Oh.
That was it. No refunds, nothing.
I saw them with Pet Shop Boys in that tour. It was supposed to be before the pandemic, but it got pushed to after the pandemic. And it was like I enjoyed New Order, but I have to say the Pet Shop Boys brought so much more energy to the stage that
Really?
it was a I was not expecting that. I mean, I'd never seen either of them live. I just never had a chance during their prime to see them live. And I was like, I was completely like blown away and disappointed by New Order when they did get up there, because it's just them standing behind their keyboard, standing at their mic stands, just plunking away. Whereas, Pet Shop Boys had costume changes and elaborate sets. So yeah, it's like it just sort of the extremes of both great, great performers, but for one's definitely a studio act and the other is knows how to do a live show.
Yeah, but also some of these guys just they don't care. They just want the money, and it's like it's very frustrating.
Well, that kind of this brings me kind of to my first question, which is like there's this saying that I've heard around for a while that rock stars want to be comedians and comedians want to be rock stars. What do you think of that kind of mythology or analogy that floats around out there?
Is it? Yeah, I feel like there's some truth in that. You know, I feel like there's aspects of both worlds that we're both equally jealous of. You know, like musicians, you know, they're rock stars and they play in big arenas and they get the girls and they get make all the money and they're famous, whatever. And then, but then on the flip side of that is like, they have to tour in a van. They don't like, you know, the music industry's all fucking taking all the money, blah, blah, blah. And I think like, see, when the musician sees a comedian, it's like one person on stage getting all the attention. And, you know, I feel like just anyone, I feel like anyone in the sort of the art, like doing any sort of arts or performance is always kind of envious or at admiring of other people doing different things, you know?
There's when I was sort of the same mind. I mean, I can kind of see it, but it's like I think at the core, a comedian and like a rock star are doing something similar. Both cases is a people are communicating the shitty realities and the beautiful realities of life, just one with spoken word and one with music. And like there's this immediacy of reaction I find in comedy that you don't necessarily get in a big studio a stadium performance because there's that separation.
Yeah,
But
there's a, I mean, there's a couple of things, a good point there. Number one, I guess as a musician, because I used to be a musician back in the day, not a good one, but you don't get the automatic reaction of an album. Per se, you put it out, you don't know. I guess it's like doing a podcast, you don't know what people like it, right? The other thing is like, I guess with the comedy thing is this, it's like when musicians write like sad songs about heartbreak or whatever they're going through, everyone fucking loves it and they get to have sex with beautiful models afterwards. If I go on stage and start talking about how sad my life is, people won't look me in the eye after a show, you know what I mean?
Or the people who do, you're like, oh, you're kind of scaring me a bit.
Well, yeah, because as a comedian, if you're being self-deprecating, it's like you can't, you don't have that, you don't get looked at like as the rock star that I feel like we're jealous of from musicians, I guess.
Well, so you are going to be performing two shows on the 19th
Yes, Friday.
for recording your second special for
Yes,
a comedy bar.
I am.
How did it feel getting invited to like this rebirth of Just for Laughs in Toronto?
It's good. It's like I didn't think that I didn't think I was going to be asked. Then I got the opportunity, and you know, I already had like my album sort of like in my head that I wanted to record it anyway. And then when this opportunity came up to do it just for laughs, I was like, that's amazing because, you know, as much as, you know, Just for Laughs is the big festival here. So getting to do it and getting to do it with Just for Laughs and getting to do it at my favorite club, Comedy Bar, with and getting it recorded with Comedy Bar and Comedy Records, you know, it's like a dream come true, you know?
I love the cab space too, because I mean the main room is great, but I feel there's a an intimacy in that cab space, especially since they've done the work to sort of make it a little bit more comfortable over the last little while. So
Yeah,
it's a great space for that kind of thing.
that's, I mean, it's a great space, but it's also like the place I probably performed in the most. So, you know, it's very familiar, so I feel very comfortable being there. I mean, I like either spot in Comedy Bar, to be honest with you, but cab space is intimate, it's nice. They've just recently, Gary, the owner of Comedy Bars, recently just sort of made some changes to the background. So there's like some shelves there, and there's some different curtains and backgrounds and stuff. So I'm hoping to set it up so it looks a little different from the normal night at Comedy Bar as well.
Awesome. Is that would you say that's your favorite space, or do you have another space that your favorite to perform in?
You know what? Comedy Bar is my favorite location. I like the main space in Comedy Bar. But I've been producing a show there for years, so I'm very comfortable with that space where a lot of people aren't. But I like that. And one of my other favorite clubs is Yuck Yucks in Ottawa. Like, I've been going there for years. It's a great spot. And I love all the club and the staff and Howie and Ashley and all that that works there. So, yeah, I mean, but Comedy Bar has been my home really since coming to Canada and starting comedy. So, yeah, it's good to do it in my favorite place. I mean, I would have done it anywhere they asked, but Comedy Bar's perfect. Plus, I live 2 minutes from Comedy Bar, so it's not, you know, I don't need to get on a bus. I don't need to do it. I just walk. It takes 2 seconds, and then I'll be home with, before you know
Yeah, it's amazing how many comedians in Toronto live walking distance to Comedy Bar. There's a definite like market for real estate there for comedians.
Oh yeah, it is surprising though. I don't think as many comedians live in the other side of the town where the other Comedy Bar is right enough.
I used to live back there, and when I first went to the new venue, I was like, it's somehow gotten sketchier over
Yeah,
the
it's a little.
years.
I always joke when I did when I do shows there. Recently, last weekend I was hosting for Kyle Kinane, and I was like, you know, because a lot of people don't go to Comedy Bar there because they want to see the comic who's on. But no one really lives in that area, so I always be like, who came here by subway? And then like, did you have a fun time getting here from Main Station to like, because there's like that weird walk from Main Station to Comedy Bar. It's like maybe 5 minute walk, but it's just full of like people just fucking, you're like, am I gonna be stabbed walking down here? It's a little sketchy for sure.
I remember the first time I went there as I was doing a show with I was recording like a kid a show that was like a kid-friendly show in the middle of the afternoon. They opened the space up specially for me, and there was this tiny woman, and this is not a gendered thing, this is just a description, tiny woman with this giant dog shaking down a guy for drug money.
Oh
Like
yeah.
she's like collecting, and I'm like, well, this is the neighborhood's changed since I lived here
Yeah,
10
you haven't even
minutes
had a cup of coffee yet, you know what I mean?
ago. Now, you've been performing for quite a few years now. You got a lot of experience under your belt. Do you have like a magical comedy moment, like a moment that in your performing career that really you stands out as like, oh, this is like an awesome performance, an awesome experience.
That's a good question. Well, I mean, l listen, this weekend hosting with Kyle Kinane was very good because he's one of my favorite comics. And like just to watch, and then Gerard Carmichael came in afterwards and did an hour. So, like, watching Kinane do an hour and Gerard Carmichael do an hour, that was just in this week. And yes, what day is it? Sunday? Monday? On Saturday, I saw Kevin Bridges, who's like my favorite comic. So in the space of like 2 days, I saw Kyle Kinane, Gerard Carmichael, and Kevin Bridges, which was very exciting. In terms of my own like performance, I mean, I always like, you know, opening for these guys who are like, you know, sometimes you're like, what is my life? You know, when you work with guys who are great like that, and it's very inspiring. For my own performance wise, that's a hard question. I mean, I really, I don't know. Nothing pops out to mind, you know, because I'm trying to think. Like, do you mean like when I come off and I'm like, that was great, or?
Yeah, just like one of those moments where you're like, oh, this is, it's just like an amazing moment that really like filled me with happiness at doing comedy
Well,
kind of thing.
I think when I take my first special as well, that was also a good moment because like I had two sold out shows. They both went great. The album was really well received. And it's just kind of like, you know, when you do your reps in comedy, you're doing shows, you're playing this place, you're playing that place, and then you do things like putting an album together, and it just kind of like is a good just little like bookending of the years that you've just been working that stuff out. So I guess that was probably like my first like real like, oh, that was a great experience, and I had all my friends open for me and all that. And so yeah, that I feel like that was the one time for my individual self that I was like, yeah, that was great.
How do you feel your comedy's evolved over the years leading up to the album and since the album?
I think my comedy is, I think two things performance wise I've been getting, you know, my first album, between my first album and now, I've, you know, like in terms of like my comedy, I've like leveled up in terms of like I'm headlining now, I'm doing longer sets, I'm doing my own stuff, I'm so like performance chops and stage confidence has gotten a lot higher. When I first my first album's a lot about me sort of like moving to Canada and the differences between Scotland and Canada and sort of fish out of water stuff. And this new stuff is a bit more personal and a bit more being me as opposed to just you know, making sort of observations about living in this country sort of thing. Which, you know, I've always, you know, comedy is obviously steeped in like honesty and vulnerability and, you know, trying to be yourself and stuff. But it's been a, and I don't think I'm fully there yet myself. I feel like I can, there's more to come, but I feel like doing that is it's like telling stories or jokes or things about yourself that are kind of private. Usually I wouldn't, you know, if I wasn't doing comedy, I wouldn't never talk about these things. But now, since I started doing comedy, and I'm like, oh, that's funny, that's interesting, that's really, you know. And you know, I had a joke about a bad sexual experience I had a while back, and like it was just like that's the kind of thing I would never tell anyone, right? But it was so funny, and I was like, I gotta tell this on stage. And the thing is, like when I started telling it, I was just so embarrassed for myself, you know, that I don't come out looking good in this situation, you know. And as a man, I don't want to be like, oh, I had a terrible sex experience, it was my fault, you know. But it's so funny and it's ridiculous. And I feel like as a comedy fan or an audience member, I feel like, you know, when you watch comedy and you watch people being themselves, you kind of like, you know, you feel seen, you feel relatable to the comedian. You have a good laugh because stupid, like, because you don't really maybe talk about these things in your day-to-day life. And I think like now, between then and now, I've becoming more myself on stage. And I think like after this taping, I think I'm gonna like dig deeper into that myself because it's also changed me as a person doing that. And like just allowing myself to be myself and allowing vulnerability and honesty. And sometimes it goes badly, and sometimes it's embarrassing, and sometimes it's humiliating, you know, but that's life. And it, but I feel like all those failures or rejections or whatever, or you know, make you a stronger comic, but also make you a more confident person as well, which they all kind of sort of, you know, it all comes together like that, you know.
I sent your special, The Scotsman, to my father-in-law, who is from Glasgow. Grew up his youth there and then moved here as a young kid, but he really loved it. So
Oh, good.
he really
Thank
found a
God.
lot that he enjoyed it.
Thank God. Some Scottish people on YouTube were didn't enjoy it. But
That
that's
seems
because
to
they
be
didn't
kind of
live in
like,
Canada. Because
they
they're like, I make fun of Scotland a little bit, and people, Scottish people, again, the Scottish people, I'm kind of like that. We're very like, it's a weird thing. We're very patriotic when we're not in Scotland. Do you know what I mean? When we're in Scotland, we're like, fuck this place, fuck this, fuck that. Scotland sucks. But when we leave, we're like, do not say a bad word about Scotland. And part of that joke in there was like, people are very proud to be Scottish in Canada, but that's because they don't live there anymore, right? It's very easy to be patriotic when you're miles away from the place, So I'm glad he liked it though, because Scottish audiences and Scottish people, we're very honest. And if we don't like you, we don't like you. But if you like you, so the fact that he said he liked it, that's good. I like that.
Now, sort of flipping that question about a magical moment, there's some very interesting venues and shows in the city, like the recurring show at the Nudist Beach, or the various shows at sex clubs and stuff throughout the city. What's the sort of weirdest performance experience that you had over the years?
Oh God, I mean, talking about sex clubs, talking of Oasis, I went to the Oasis. There used to be a show at the Oasis Sex Club. I don't know if there is anymore. And like, I'd never been to a sex club, obviously. Like, who, I mean, not me. I don't feel like that's the norm. It feels like everyone here has, but I'd never been. So I got asked to do it, and like, I was mostly doing it because I was curious to see what a sex club looked like. And like, when I went in, I was like, oh God. It's like smelt like sex, and it kind of was like one of those. It just felt like it was, anyway, not to shame anyone going there, but like I walk in and I'm like fully clothed, obviously. So I walk in and there's like people getting spanked and people watching them getting spanked. And I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know. This is, but anyway, like it was a weird situation. And then like the room we're in, everyone's sort of on a big couch, like a big sort of like sex couch, right? And everyone's either naked or they're wearing towels and whatever. And I was fully clothed, and I felt naked. Like it was opposite. Now people say, "Oh, if you're worried about speaking publicly, just picture everyone naked." That's not. I saw everyone naked. It wasn't good. You don't know where to look. Everywhere you look, there's like a tit or a dick or a whatever. And the also the weirdest thing about that show was they didn't like jokes about sex or dating or stuff like that. They weren't really into that, which I was, yeah, I guess maybe I was surprised about. But the host was Fouad, Fouad HP. So Fouad goes on. And he has a lot of jokes about sex and dating, so that's how I noticed. And it wasn't going well for him, and I'm sure he'll admit that himself. So what he did is he acknowledged he was kind of bombing. He took off his shirt. Now, his forehead is absolutely ripped, like six-pack, jack, like just like a fucking, like, goes to the gym, etc. The place goes crazy. Everyone now suddenly loves him. Like, woo! Right? And I'm like, so part of me was like, I went up after him, and part of me was like, should I take my shirt off? But I can't. It's like I can't. It's like following a massive comedian who's just buried the room, right? It'd be like following John Mulaney, but with body stuff, I guess. So I was like, I can't take my shirt off after seeing a guy with a six pack, and then I kind of mentioned it to him. I was like, should I take my shirt off? And they're like, woo! And I was like, I don't. So that was kind of weird. You always do a little. You always. There are always these weird shows with comedy. They're always like, at the time, they're always brutal, but they always pay the most money, these weird shows. And then afterwards, you laugh about them. But I feel like they make you stronger as a comic. But I feel like the Sex Club one's a weird one. They always have shows in Sex Club. I don't know if I would do it again. I thought it would be quite, I was like, well, maybe it's kind of sexy or whatever. It was not, I don't think sex clubs are, not to shame anyone, God, they're not for me anyway. I'll say that much.
It's everybody has no kink shaming. Everybody has their different ups and downs. But yeah, that'd be very, it'd be, I can't imagine performing in that kind of environment. So kudos to you. Kudos to you.
Yeah, I'm just not like, what's the word, voyeuristic? Is that the right word? I'm not like, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not an exhibitionist. Even that nude show, I would never do. I couldn't be nude on stage, and I couldn't see a lot, watch people watching me in the nude. It's kind of, I don't know what you get out of that. So, I don't think I would do it again.
Yeah, I get very. I used to DJ for a burlesque troupe, and I would get so flustered because these were my friends performing, and I just like stare at the board, or anytime I had to go into the dressing room, I was like staring at the floor because I'm just like, I just get weirded out because like these are people that like I wouldn't want them to see me naked, so why would they want me to see them naked, kind of thing.
Yeah,
So,
I
yeah.
know. I guess I'm just a bit of a prude that way, I guess. Because all of my friends go to like the nudist beach in Toronto as well. And some of my friends will just be like, we're sitting, and then all of a sudden they're just nude. And I'm like, oh, that's, and they're just comfortable with it. And I'm like, but anyway,
Yeah.
that's our, do you know what that is? That's our fucking Protestant shame.
Yes, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, we both have that built in from our youth.
Yeah, guilt or Protestant or Catholic or Christian shame that from
Yeah.
Scottish, we're just Scottish people are, or you people in the UK generally, we're very like, there is a shame around sex and nudity and stuff like that. So that's definitely just embodied in us, I guess.
Now, who are you following right now? What comedian's really sparking your interest?
Local or otherwise?
Either.
I really local wise I think a new comic who's around the scene, or she's been around for a few years, Monica Gross, is very funny. And I'm excited. I think she's gonna do well. I haven't seen enough of her right now, but I think she's hilarious. Who else am I excited by recently? Oh, I just watched the specials I watched recently that I loved was Ali Sadiq, My Two Sons. He's a, I don't know if you know Ali Sadiq, he's a storyteller. And he has like so many specials on YouTube that have millions of views, but it's all stories about his life. He's, one of them's about him being in prison, that this one's about his two teenage sons or whatever. Amazing storyteller. And I love good storytellers. Who else did I watch recently? I mean, again, as I mentioned, Kyle Kinane, I watched him live, but also his most recent specials he put up. And again, another guy who's very consistent with putting out good hours consistently. Again, that's what I think really, and that's one thing about Monica as well. It's like people who, she's very honest about who she is and vulnerable, and just there's no kind of filter or there's no like mask. And I like that a lot. I did recently, our mutual, I have to shout out our mutual friend Tracy Hamilton. I did see their one person show at the Hamilton Fringe, which was great. And again, I've known Tracy for years, but she managed to put a story of, excuse me, things that could be seen as sort of traumatic through her life, from her dating life and things that happened. It made it into this beautiful story about her queerness and accepting herself and trusting her gut. And that was really great to see. Because I do enjoy, as I say, storytelling and people telling us a little bit about themselves. So yeah, I think that's, for now, that's who I've been excited about. I love a storyteller.
Yeah, I Tracy, because I've seen all of those jokes that sort of made up the bones of Tracy's show, one woman show, I'd seen as stand up, but to see it all come together in that manner was just so amazing because it was just such a touching show that really had something for everybody that resonated with every person in that audience. Like if there's one moment that maybe somebody didn't get, something less than 5 minutes later would hit with a person and go, oh, that's speaking to me. It's just such a universal story that was so uplifting, but had its dark moments, had its funny moments. And the one bit about that ex-boyfriend was like, oh my God, that is so
Oh, I know.
bonkers.
Some of, yeah. So, I mean, I did, which one? You know
Yeah.
what I mean? But this is what I really like now with where I feel like comedy, some, or not all comedy, but a lot of comedy is going in the sort of like making light of or dealing with our sort of like our lives and our traumas or our mental health, and being honest with it, vulnerable with it, but making it funny, making it accessible. Because Tracy, so for example, is like, a story about queerness and bisexualness, is that, I don't know if that's a word, but you know, but like I could see people, the people in the audience were like a lot of bisexual women who all talked to Tracy afterward, like, oh, I had similar stories. Thank you for sharing this. I had the Blade character or whoever, right? And Taylor Tomlinson is someone I really like as well, who, you know, she talks, she's again, honesty, talking about her life, mental health, bipolar stuff. And I think, like, you know, obviously there's a lot of stand-up that's just like observations and jokes and set up punch and stuff. And I love that too. But you know, making stuff that's going on in the world, like especially mental health, I talk a bit about addiction, sobriety, mental health and stuff, and trying to make it, because people like don't people there's a shame involved in these things. People keep them to themselves. People go about their day-to-day lives for that. But then the amount of times I've had people come up to me and talk in after shows, even in like, you know, a Yuck Yucks in Oshawa or whatever, you know, people be like, thank you for talking about mental health. Thank you for talking about sobriety. I'm just talking about my life, right? But I feel like these are things that where people go, oh, I'm not the only person experiencing these things, and it's not as bad as or catastrophic, catastrophic. I don't know what the word I'm trying to say. Because fill that in, edit that bit, and I think there's again talking about storytelling stuff. I feel like people, and I like the same on social media. People who are really like being themselves on social media, I feel like those are the people who blow up as well. Like Andrew Barr is a good example of that, a local comic who, you know, was addict, coke addict, alcoholic, and instead of just that being a miserable experience for him, he started talking about it in a very fun way, about talking about how, you know, now he has a lot of money to buy pants. You know, I talked about that. He ran 100K and then special, which is insane. But like that's how he processed his the stuff that went on from. And I think that's why I like to see these days. And call, I can't remember the original question, I'll be honest with you, but
That's good. I mean, it's kind of ties back to that first question about, because it's like, you know, we want to share when we're up there telling a story or telling a joke. It's met of that connection and that immediacy of that
Yeah,
connection.
that's a good word.
That I feel, you know, when you get vibing with an audience when you're performing in a band, that's one thing, but there's that immediacy of like recognition in an audience where like that story is the same experience that I've had that I think you can get.
Yeah, because like for example, like all my like sort of immigrant Scottish living in Canada, that really every person who's just come to this country has the same experience, whether it be like trying to get permanent residency or the differences about living here, or also like talking about mental health and stuff. You start finding your audience. And someone else who I love that's great with that is Maria Bamford, who does that, right? Who she's coming to Just for Laughs this week. I'm going to be out of town. I can't see her, but like she has like talks very openly about very serious mental health conditions, but makes it so funny. Same with Gary Gilman, did the whole special about depression, and again, very heavy for them. That probably they're, you know, like even the my taping this week is about, you know, it's like it's almost like a moving on from the last special. It's like, okay, I'm sober. Now what? Here are the problems I'm having. Problems I'm having with life, dating, figuring out how to be myself as a 44-year-old adult in the world who has always just used substances, you know? So, and again, these are things that like it's hard to like, it's, you know, like sometimes I'm like, ah, should I talk about these things? But then, you know, they resonate. I mean, I had years ago when I first started, when I first got sober, I talked about it on stage, and I remember a girl come up to me and she was like, I saw you talk about being sober and it was a year ago. And she goes, after I saw you do that, she was a coke addict, and she goes, I got sober. And it was literally, I think, a year or the year anniversary around that time. And she was like, I've been a year clean ever since seeing that. Now, that's not why I obviously talk about it, but like, that's kind of the impact that, like, you know, talking about these things has, though, right? You know, not to say that like comedians are saving the world or anything, but I'll be honest, when I started talking, when I first got sober or whatever, I would listen to podcasts and people and stuff, and you can always get a little nugget of hope from people. So that's why I do it. I don't think I'll ever, as much as I love sort of joke guys. Oh, I should mention, going back, who I like, Todd Graham. He's a very one-liner comic, very silly, very, but I love, he's my one of my favorites, if not my favorite, and I love that style. But I tried to do that for a while back in the early days, because I loved all that sort of UK style, like one-liners, puns, wordplay and stuff. But it just never really sat with me, and I feel like for me, I'm more of a storyteller. And I'd love to. I mean, I did think about that. I was like, I wonder if I could write an hour of one-liners, or that I could just do as a special, as a writing project. But I don't think I could handle the amount of bombing that it would take to get these jokes.
It's like,
Just
okay,
me.
that one, nope. Okay, that one where, yeah, it's just the sheer volume as opposed to a
Well, that's the
story where you
thing.
can tweak and move it on the fly kind of thing.
Yeah, and one of the things with one-liners or puns or whatever is, like, because of the world of Twitter or whatever, there's a lot of those jokes already out there. So make them original. Plus, I find that in Canada, people don't really like that style as much as they do in the UK. So sometimes, like, guys like Todd or Tom Henry or Nick Nemiroff, RIP, whatever. These guys I love, and then I would see them go into crowds who don't like them, or don't not they don't like, they don't understand that style of humor, so they're just bombing, but they don't stop, they don't fluster, they just lean into it. And sometimes that's even funnier to watch as a comic, the way that, because I would crumble,
Well,
but
it's
then
like,
on the flip side, that when you get the right crowd, they fucking blow the roof off,
like folks like Mitch Hedberg, Stephen Wright, Emo Phillips all sort of operate in that space too. And those were the guys that, I watched come as when I was younger too. And it's the same thing. It's like, I don't know how they can do that. Like, that's just so impressive.
Oh, that's not good. Sorry.
Oh, no.
No, it's but that's the thing. I love all styles of comedy, but I feel like right at this moment, I do enjoy storytelling, people being themselves, even if it is humiliating for that person, or embarrassing, or traumatic, but they're making it into something special. Because again, going back to Tracy, she made that, like, that could have just, had she not been a comedian and all these things happened to her, how would she have processed that in the real world? Would she have? But
Be
now
like
she
on a
can share
therapist's
that.
couch or something.
Exactly, but now she can share that with a bunch of people at different, whenever she goes on tour again, shares it with a bunch of people. And again, you find your people that way, right?
It's funny. It's like one of my favorite albums of all time is Richard Pryor on the Sunset Strip. Where there's a transition from his old act, which was that very jokey kind of stuff. Then the back half of the album, there's like this turning point where it becomes story driven, talking about like this incredible low moment when he set himself on fire while freebasing cocaine and running down the street on fire. But then it just turns, this entire story turns, and it's like, and that was like just really a revelatory comedy special and album, where you can
Oh yeah,
see the artistry at work there. And
because I think that, like, as much as, like, sort of like writing sort of set up punch jokes is hard with, like, how many editing words and getting the right words and whatever. I think, like, there's a level to storytelling that is also, like, a skill too. Because I don't know for sure, but I feel like that prior special might have been one of the first where people were just like vaudeville acts almost, or like, hey, my wife, right? Rodney Dangerfield style, who I love, Rodney Dangerfield, but like that was kind of the style, right? And then he starts talking about freebasing cocaine and setting himself on fire, right? That today would still be a hilarious story, but I feel like back then it must have been so shocking to people, And it's the same with Carlin. Carlin started off as a sort of, like, suit and tie kind of guy, and then
Character
just started
bit.
talking about political stuff, what's going on in the world. And that's also another muscle that some people are so much better at than others, you know?
Well, like
And
Josh
there's,
Johnson, who like puts
yeah.
an hour, I think almost every week he has like a new hour, and it's like how he does that, and it's so natural and so loose and organic.
Yeah, but I mean the thing is, the world, the material keeps coming. The world, the way the world is, it's not like he's struggling to find
That's
stuff, you
true.
know?
It's a buffet of options right now, unfortunately. A last question for you. If you had like
Yes.
one comedy wish, like a play, a perform with a certain person at a certain place, just an experience, what would it be?
I would love, one of my goals is to perform at the Massey Hall. I mean, at some point maybe that would happen, from opening for someone or hosting someone, which would be awesome. But I would love to get to a point in my career where I could sell out a Massey Hall, because obviously it's an amazing venue, it's a legendary venue. But also for me, that's like, I feel like for me, like with comedy, like there's a lot of like stadium acts, arenas acts, and all that. And I feel like that's too much, right? I feel like Massey Hall is like what, 3,000 people or something? I think that's about the max you want. I think theaters are the perfect place for comedy. And I feel like, plus for me, if I was to, all the shit that I've gone through, from moving to Toronto, getting sober, addiction, finding this audience, and then getting to play the most legendary Toronto venue on my own, that would be like, oh, I made it moment, you know? So that would be, that's my big goal, for the next little bit, you know? So
Well,
that's what I want to do. Yeah.
I look forward to one day seeing you at Massey Hall headlining.
Yes.
So that'll be
Yes. If
awesome.
you don't see me headline at Massey Hall, you will see me selling drinks in my comedy career somehow gone badly. But yeah.
I'll be wishing for you to get that to the best there. So
Yeah.
awesome. Well,
And who, oh,
sorry, go ahead.
wait, I was going to ask you a question. Who are you going to see any shows at Just for Laughs?
I'm going to see you on
Oh, are
Friday.
you? Nice.
So
Nice.
T Todd Graham, or sorry, Todd Barry, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I love Todd Barry too.
Todd Barry, yeah. And Harry Condabolu.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah,
He's
he is
great.
awesome.
Yeah.
And it, just his comedy is so of the moment.
I haven't seen him for a while, so I might try, if I sneak on there, if I can sneak into it, because I'd love to see what he's talking about these days.
There's so much going on right now. Like, and it's been a long time since I saw him.
It's been a while since he's, I feel like he's put something out. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I think he's been mostly working on TV stuff.
right.
Sarah Millican, I'm
Oh, I
seeing.
love Sarah American too.
So, and I'm going that one. I'm going to with my wife and a coworker of hers. So
Oh,
yeah, it's not
she's
as
so great.
she. Yeah, she is. It's another one of those people where it's just a very personal connection. Like you could see her in the biggest venue, but it feels like she's talking to you, kind of thing in those specials.
Yeah. And do you know what I'm really happy about now, is because of social media has made some things bad, but the one good thing about social media now is all the UK comics I love have now started to realize they have fan bases in America and Canada. So they're now starting to tour, like Sarah. I saw Ramesh, Kevin Bridges, Fern Brady, Daniel Sloss. Well, Daniel Sloss was always kind of here, but like now they're starting to see how great they are. So, you know, I'm hoping one day we'll see Stuart Lee, maybe. Do you think Stuart Lee did? I don't think he'd ever come here, but
You never
that
know.
would be great.
I saw Fern when she came to Toronto. She did the Royal, and that was. I felt sorry for her because that was a shit show. And she stayed at the hotel down the street from my mother-in-law's.
Oh, it's a terrible hotel.
Terrible hotel. And I'm like, oh, you're really not experiencing Toronto at its best.
She did play at the Jane Mallett Theatre this year, which is a nicer theatre, and she stayed in a nicer place. She talked about that too. It was very funny. But yeah. So, sorry, what did you want to ask me to wrap this up?
Oh yeah, I was just going to say, like, if people wanted to go to more of your shows or find you on social media, where could they look?
James Austin Comedy for all apps, I feel. I'll be there. I produce two shows at Comedy Bar monthly, but if you go mostly, I feel like Instagram is the best place where I post the most. So if you find me there, and where else? I think that's it. I think that's the best place to find me.